come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Welcome. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Building a Future, a study through the book of Zechariah. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com. Now get your Bible and let's get started.
This morning when I came in, somebody just told me that there has been a village in Syria that has been kidnapped by ISIS. And I just want to pray for them right now because it's really on my heart. Remember last week we talked about it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, that ISIS will be stopped. And so it's going to be by the spirit of the living God that they are stopped in their tracks. And so let's just take a minute and pray for those people right now. And a missionary in Nigeria has also been kidnapped as well. So let's just lift them up before the throne. And Lord, we put these people in your hands. You've not left them. You are with them, Lord. We are thankful, Father, for the confidence of knowing from our side, Lord, that you are with them. Lord, I pray that you would give them an awareness of your presence as they're in the midst of this horrible time in their lives, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would protect them. Father, that you would cause your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be very evident to them. Father, I pray that it would even be like it was in Old Testament times, Lord, when the people are told to open up their eyes and see the angels that are surrounding them, Lord. And so we pray for that, that they would see you, Lord, and that they would be protected by your mighty hand, Lord. We come against the power of the enemy, Lord, that wants to rob, kill, and destroy in every way that is possible. Lord, we stand against it by the power of your might. Lord, we pray that you would take this one. Lord, that you, God, would intervene in this, that you would deliver them back to their village safe and sound, Lord, miraculously. We pray for a stop of ISIS, Lord, by the power of your hand. And in Nairobi, Lord, we just pray for this precious one, Lord, that you would, that they would know your presence, that they would know your presence with them right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would deliver them from the hand of the enemy in any way that that enemy wants to do anything, Lord. I pray for just an awareness of your presence with him. And Lord, while we're praying, we pray for Pastor Saeed and we pray for his release as well, Lord. We lift him up before you and ask, Lord God, that you would do a mighty work in the lives that are touching his life because he will not be silenced. He will continue to share you, Lord. And so we thank you for the privilege that we have of praying for these people. And we know, Lord, that you're going to do mighty, great and mighty things, Lord. And we love you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I know that you guys all are still praying for our nation at 7:14 in the morning, 7:14 in the evening. And this morning when I came in, my heart is really burdened for our nation, and more so than usual. And I'm not quite sure what has set it off, but I just am really burdened for our nation and recognizing our need to pray for the United States right now. I don't know if it's been set off by what I saw, what little bit I saw of the Academy Awards. I'm not sure if that's what set it off, but I was talking with an 87-year-old lady this past week, and she was sharing with me that when she was 4 years old, Roosevelt came into office, and she was 18 when he died in office. So during the course of his time in office, Roosevelt was anti-Semitic. And so when the boat of German Jews came to our shores, he refused to let them come into our country. And during the time of his presidency, we went through the Great Depression, we went through the Dust Bowl, we went through World War II, we went through the Japanese War, and that was all during his presidency. Now, when Truman took office, and in 1948, he said, we will recognize the state of Israel. We will, and he fought with his cabinet to agree with him. And when he forced them to do that, and during the time of Truman's presidency, there was a time of peace, there was a time of prosperity, there was a time of, it was the end of the war, as we all know how that was ended, but it was, the 50s were known as a time of just sweetness, you know, it was a good time in our lives. And so I am burdened for our country now, because of how we are responding to Israel. And I know that, I know last week we went out of here with, was it just last week that we went out of here with that word? To just be very, very alert to what the Lord would have, would say to you. Please be praying for our country. Please, please, please. And for the peace of Jerusalem as well. The guys are going on, well, not just guys, but, the team is going on, 15 people are leaving on next Tuesday for their hike in Israel. So please be praying for them. Please, please, please. It snowed. Oh, yay. Okay, so here we go into our study tonight in the book of Zechariah, chapter 5. How'd you like it? Did anyone else find it challenging? I'll tell you first off, I was going through commentaries, and you know, I am not anti-technology. It's not that I don't want to go to the computer and have the computer tell me everything, but I love books. And so I love to go to my commentary books, and I love to go through and I underline in them and get information from different ones and work on that. But there's one thing that when I was studying for this, there is one commentary that I don't go to, and I'll tell you the reason why. And the one that I do not go to is John Corson, not because I don't like him, because he's an excellent teacher. He has excellent information. He is almost always right on. And I say almost always because none of us are always right on. We all have our little bits and pieces. But I want to, I don't read his because I am tempted to just take his word for it. And that was the word for him as a teacher to that group of people that he was speaking to. And for me, as a teacher, I would be tempted to take his word to that group of people, and you guys would be missing out on the word that God had for you by my studying in a different way. So that's the only reason that I don't use John Corson. I think he's very good, and I hope you guys do read him. I hope you do use his stuff, and I think he will give you lots of answers that I will probably never come up with. But I found this chapter very interesting. As I was going through commentary after commentary, and they wouldn't answer my questions, they wouldn't tell me who was that person, and why were they there, and what was that like, and all of those things. So there was a lot of adventure as we studied through this particular time. And so, Father, I just lift up to you right now this study, Lord, and I pray, Father, that you would bring to my remembrance whatever I have need of right now, Lord. I pray that you would help me to see what it is that you are saying. Help us to hear. Help us to know your voice, Lord, when we hear it. And that we would be alerted to this, to what's going on in this chapter, Lord, and that we wouldn't be fooled by it. We wouldn't be taken aback by any of it, Lord, but that we would understand clearly what it is that you're saying to us. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're just going to read, first of all, through chapter 5, and I'll try not to make too many comments as we read through it. Then I turned and I raised my eyes, and I saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. He went out there and measured it very quickly. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse or the judgment, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with his timber and stone." Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, "Lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth." And so I asked, "What is it?" And he said, "It's a basket that is going forth." He also said, "This is their resemblance throughout the entire earth. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket." Then he said, "This is wickedness." And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. And so I said to the angel who talked with me, "Where are they carrying the basket?" And he said to me, "To build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base." And so there we are. It's very clear to all of us exactly what went on. Right? Okay, so the first thing that he saw was a scroll. Now, you know that the scrolls that he was talking about had, I was going to bring you a, we actually were able to pick up a scroll. So we have a scroll, or a Megillah, and it's, but it only has the one thing on it. It doesn't have two. So you know that a scroll at that time would have the two little dowels on it. And there I did it again, because they read from, no, did I do it right? Oh, right to left. And so it's like turning the page when they turn those things. And so, but this one was not rolled up at all. It was completely out there. It was completely open. Not only was it completely open, but it was flying. That got his attention right there. Not only was it flying, but it was huge. It was the size of Solomon's porch. It was the size of the holy place. And that speaks to us, first of all, what was written on it, the fact that it was a scroll, it was flying out there. He said, "What do you see?" And he said that here's the size of it. I figured it out right away as I was looking at it, that it was this big going about there. I don't know, was that as big as something that goes, it was 15 by 30 feet. And so would that be as big as those things that fly behind the airplanes? You know, I don't know. But it had writing on both sides, which reminds us of the Ten Commandments. As you know, the Ten Commandments had the writing on both sides of it. And I wonder, when we look at this, I'm wondering how many of you have memorized and could right now say the Ten Commandments? Okay, one. Even the people that are raising their hands are going like, yeah, I know it. Well, I memorized them one time, but I couldn't right now before you. I could not stand here and say the Ten Commandments in order, just rattle them off like that. So I want to challenge you guys for homework, part of your homework this week. Memorize the Ten Commandments in order. It's part of your homework. Memorize the Word of God in the Ten Commandments. What we have here are only two of the commandments of the Ten Commandments. Though two that he deals with are stealing and lying. And why only two? Well, Jesus said that if we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, we've filled all of the law and the prophets. Then he went on to say that we are to love one another as he has loved us. Now, if we love one another as he has loved us, or if we even love one another as we love ourselves, we will not steal someone else's wife. We will not steal someone else's reputation by the way that we talk about them. We will not lie, because that's not something we want done to us. And so in these two really are wrapped up all of the rest of the commandments. It's not that you've broken all of the commandments, but if you took these two, you could see how they connected with the other ones. Can you? Okay. Okay, good. I'm not sure that I'm saying it the way that I mean to say it. So it says that this is the curse or the judgment that goes out, verse 3, over the face of the entire earth. So over the entire earth, this is not confined to Judah or Jerusalem. This judgment, and this whole chapter, by the way, is future. It's future from now, even, this whole chapter. So it's going out over the whole earth, over the entire earth. According to, and it says that the thief on one side, the perjurer on the other side, according to that side. And it says, first of all, the scroll is the word of God, the commandments. And there was, the flying signifies the swiftness with which that judgment is going to come. The swiftness with which that judgment is going to come upon the whole world. The Lord will finally overtake the wicked. There is no escaping the judgment of God. There is no escaping the judgment of God. Yes, there is an escape from the judgment of God. And what is that one way? It is the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way to keep ourselves from being judged by God himself, because Jesus himself has died for us and all the things that we did, and he has taken that sin on himself. And it says in verse 4, I will send out the judgment, says the Lord of hosts. So this again is the word of the Lord. So pay attention, it says. This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to send out this curse. I'm going to send out this judgment. It shall enter the house of the thief. Now, when I go home, I feel safe. And I trust that all of you, when you go to your home, you feel safe. You feel like no one can get to you there. You feel, I mean, there are break-ins all the time, I know, but I would say for the most part, most of us, we look at our home as our safe place. I just want to be home. I just want to be in that place where I feel comfortable, where I know everybody, especially if I live by myself, where I know everybody who lives there. And just being at home. But this says that that judgment is going to enter the house of the thief. It's going to come into his home. That judgment, there's no escaping the judgment. It's going to come into the house of the thief, and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name, it shall remain. It shall remain in that place. It's going to come into our house, our idea of safety. It's going to abide. It's going to dwell. It's going to remain there. Continuous and permanency of God's judgment. It is not just a passing thing that's happening. It's not just a passing thing that's happening. It's a complete judgment. It's a complete and thorough judgment. It is to remain until the evil is destroyed. It will remain until the evil is destroyed. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and its stones. It will remain on that house there. Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, utterly consume it, utterly cleansed away from the midst of God's congregation with those who refuse to be separated from it. He will utterly cleanse away from the midst. Everything of that sin will just be done away with. This is future, as I said before. This is future, and this is what is going to come to pass. So we move on to verse 5. Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, now as I was looking at this today, I was looking at this before I came out here, and I looked at it in a completely different way than I looked at it this morning. And as I was looking at it, and it said, lift up your eyes, so that's a pay attention again thing. You know, lift up your eyes. Can I get your attention is what the angel is saying. And lift up your eyes, see what this is that goes forth. So I asked, what is it? I'm looking at something, and I don't know what it is. And I get this picture of the angel kind of sketching something, you know, like saying, oh, well, it's a basket. You know, when you get your little kids come home with a picture and you say, tell me about that so that you can get an idea of what the picture is. You know, I got that kind of picture of this. So what is this? Oh, well, it's a basket. Oh, okay. He would have been familiar with this kind of basket, though. It was an ephah. This is the basket that holds 21 quarts. So he would have been familiar with this. And this ephah, this basket, represents commercialism. It would come to be the moral system by which the temptress is carried. And with the temptress being that woman that's in there. And so he asked, what is it? He said, it's an ephah that is going forth. It's not just there, but it's going also through the air. It's also going along. Now remember, this is a vision. These are not normal things that happen. This is just a vision of things that are to come. And he said, this is their resemblance throughout the earth. This is what commercialism looks like throughout the earth. You remember that in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the book of Leviticus, God told the Israelites how to raise their livestock, how to care for their crops, how to care for everything that he had given them, and he didn't want them to be dependent on anyone else. And then when they were disobedient, he sent them to Babylon. And when they came to Babylon, and they learned a few things while they were there. You know that Babylon is a spiritual, it's a type of the world. And so while they were dwelling in that world, in the worldly living, they picked up a few things. And one of the things they picked up was commercialism. The things they found out they could make money by simply selling things, by just not dealing with their crops, not dealing with their livestock, but they could just be merchants and they would become dependent on other nations. Now, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when at the port of Long Beach, when those people were not unloading the ships, what happened to the States? What happened to all of us? It set back our economy by 3 months, because we are so dependent on other countries. We sell other countries our oil, and we buy oil from another country. God calls us to trust him, to be centered in on him, and that our trust needs not to be in the commercialism, not in the things that we can have, not in the things that we can do. But we need to walk in that obedience. And so as it went on, this says that this is their resemblance throughout the earth. This is taking place throughout the whole earth. By the way things are running right now in our world, we are perfectly set up for a one world government because of the way that we buy and sell from each other. We are totally set up for a one world monetary system because of the way that we buy and sell to each other. We cannot survive without buying and selling from each other. We are dependent on other countries, and we no longer need to be dependent on God. That's a worrisome thing. It says it resembles the entire world. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket. And then he says, now this lead disc was called a talent, and the talent was made out of lead, and it was a very heavy means of payment. And so this lead thing would cover the ephah that the woman was inside of, and it would seal her in there. So again, here's your commercialism. It's all wrapped up in here. The wickedness, which we're seeing that the lady's name was called wickedness. The wickedness is in the center of all the commercialism that's going on. All of the things I must have. I want to ask you this, and I asked the ladies in the morning, how many of you participate in retail therapy? You see, that's one of the things. It's not that it's wrong to shop, but when we use that as something to fulfill something that God could give us, then for us, we need to pay attention and find out what God's telling us. And so here she is. She's in the middle of this basket. He says that her name is wickedness. And then I have a problem. I had a problem with that. How come it has to be a woman? I had a real problem with that. I was looking at that and I'm going, how come? Well, because they're talking about Israel here. He's talking about even the church here. And what are we referred to? We are referred to as his bride. Israel is referred to as a her. And so here we have, in the middle of it, you are walking in wickedness, in being so involved in the commercialism that was never meant to be. I've never set this up for you, God says. He says, I put you in a place so that you could overtake the land, so that you could live here, so that I could provide for you. And when they didn't do it, and you know, right now with Israel, and we've talked about this before, right now with Israel, they survive through tourism. They are depending on the countries of the world for their income. It's not a good place to be. Not all those who are of Israel are Israelites. Not all those they're not true Jews. They are all Jewish by heritage, but they're not Jewish by their spiritual acts, by the way that they live, by the way that, you know, all the people that come to the church here are not all Christians. Some are non-Christians. It's the same sort of thing. So here we have this, the talent that I told you about, the talent, the heavyweight that would hold in that wickedness until she arrives at her destination. It's going to hold her in until she arrives at her destination. Out of the hearts of the true believer, where the wickedness needs to be taken out, to be bound in the place that God has for the ungodly. God has prepared a place for the enemy. He says for us, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has also said to Satan that I have prepared a place for you. And what is that place? We have it right here. That very place is that it was going to be into outer darkness. But we move on to say in verse, this is wickedness at verse 8. And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. Now, my picture of that, and I don't know if any of the rest of you got it, was, wait a minute, you're beating up on a woman. No, beating up on wickedness. And that's what we need to do. Put the lid on it. Put the lid on it. Don't allow it to be a part of your life. Those things that you know that are going to stumble you, those things that you know that are going to bring you down, put a lid on it and keep it there so we can use something that we have in this today, although most of it is future. And he thrust her down into the basket and put the lid on. And then he raised my eyes and I looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. And J. Vernon McGee talks in his commentary about the astronauts that had gone up into to the moon or whatever it was at that particular time. And he talked about them and being ready to see little green men and all that sort of thing. But there were the cosmonauts that went out on their little adventure. And you remember the story. Probably most of you remember the story when they said, we were out there and we did not see God anywhere. And the commentator or whoever it was that was they were talking to said if they would have taken one step out of the ship without their helmet on, they would have seen him just like that. So that, and that's exactly the way that it is. But that was the place between heaven and earth, that place of darkness, that this place that is prepared for the enemy. This is a place that the enemy will go for a time. And we're talking about now, we're talking about that millennial time when there's going to be a time of peace for 1,000 years on the earth. And then he will be released again. And that's a whole nother study all on its own. And so he threw her down in there. And then now we have two other ladies with these great big wings. And they are picking up this very heavy ephah, this very heavy cover on the top of it. And they have stork wings. So because it said stork wings, it didn't say angel's wings. It didn't say angel or didn't say eagle's wings. It said stork wings. So I have to learn about what's the deal with the storks. And so I learn that the storks have very strong, very big wingspan. They are very strong in their wings. But here's something else about storks. They are very dirty birds. They build nests. They have found nests that are 10 feet deep because they don't clean their nest and they don't build new nests. They just build on top. Interesting thing about that. These are wicked women that are taking this wicked woman, this wickedness, to another place. So these are not God's angels taking them to another place, but perhaps the demons as well, if you will, with that. And so the two women, they're instruments to deliver the woman from the vengeance, from the judgment, which will ultimately destroy her. What will destroy her? What will destroy wickedness? It is destroyed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's what destroys it. It is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And now, where are they carrying the basket in verse 10? And he said, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar, which is Babylon. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. In the meantime, it's going into outer darkness. It's going into that place of silence for 1,000 years, if you will, going into that time of the millennium. But here we have, when he goes to prepare a place for them. So he's gone to prepare a place for them there. So Shinar physically is Babylon, but spiritually it's the world. And so we have this whole thing, and it's not something that we have looked at and we have said, you know, well, this connects with this and this connects with the other thing, and that all ties together, and you know, it just flows and we understand it perfectly. But the one thing that I need to know is that God has spoken to me from this portion of Scripture, that he has something to say to me in all of this, that he does not want that wickedness in my own heart, that he doesn't want me to make place for it. You know, ladies, we do not have to have the best of everything. We think we do, you know, especially when you're building a house, right? You think, someone shared with me this morning that they got a brand new house and she got to go in and pick out everything that went in the house. And the person that was doing the building said, let me go with you so I can tell you the things that you don't need of this list of things. And so that person went with her and she went ahead and bought everything that was on the list. The best of the best of the best of everything. And she said it was 2 days in the house where she was already feeling like, oh, I missed it. I missed it because we had to have the best of everything. Our hearts get wrapped around our stuff that's stored at grandma's house, our stuff that's stored at mom's house, our stuff that's stored in our garage, the stuff that's stored at the place where we pay to have it stored, the stuff that's stored in our car, all of the stuff that we have happens to have us. It has us. And God doesn't want it to be that way. He doesn't want us to be dependent on those things. He wants us to walk in that fullness that only He can give to us. And so, yeah, this doesn't sound like a great study in the Old Testament of just, and this person did this, and this person did that other thing. But I know that God is speaking to us that He will deal with the wickedness. He will deal with the wickedness. If you are here tonight, and there is something going on in your life, and you're going, I know it's the enemy, I know it's an attack of the enemy, be confident to know that God knows about it, and God is your protection. He is your shelter. He is the one that will deliver you. He is the one that will cover you. He is your high tower. He is he goes before you and He goes behind you. He's on either side of you. He's surrounding you. You don't need to fear. And as we look at the things that are going on in the world today, and we look at the things that are going on in our country today, we do not need to fear. God is in control. And there is nothing that's going to happen to any of us that He hasn't already gone before us, and He knows the whole story before we even have a chance to try to figure it out. God is good and life is tough. Don't get the two mixed up. Okay? And so, Lord, I thank You, Father, for Your word. I pray, God, that You would speak something of it, Lord, to just minister to our hearts, Lord. That You would cause us to depend on You, Lord. And I know, Father, that even as I pray that, cause us to depend on You, that it is a real setup, Lord, because You want us to depend on You. And You'll do whatever it takes, because we've asked You to do whatever it takes. You'll do whatever it takes to bring us to that place of depending only on You. We're thankful, Lord, for the nation that we live in at this moment that has a freedom of our religion, Lord. And we don't want to take that for granted for one second. We don't want to take it for granted. We're thankful, Lord. I know that You have some things to say to us, Lord. And it's not to do the same thing that we did this morning. But Lord, I know that You have some things that You want to say to us. And so we're going to sit for just a moment in silence and wait for You to speak to us, Lord. Father, in the same way that this little baby is resting in the arms of Grandma and Mama, Lord, let us rest in Your arms. Let us be confident of Your care for us, confident of Your love for us. And Father, help us to take advantage of those moments that You give us to just sit in silence before You, to just sit and listen to You, Lord, to stop our talking, to stop our minds from going in numerous different directions. Help us to remember, Lord, that we need to take the time to sit at Your feet and hear from You. So I thank You, Lord, for these ladies. I pray, Father, as they go into their small groups, Lord, that You would minister to them there. I know that there are ladies in here who have gotten so much more out of this in their own study in this portion of our text, Lord. And they are anxious to share the things that You've given to them, Lord. I pray that You would bless them as they minister one to another. Father, I pray a fresh anointing on us as we seek to serve You, Lord, that we would do it with our whole heart and that we would bring glory to Your name. And Father, again, we pray for our country and for the leaders of our country, Lord. Deliver us from the evil one, Lord, in whatever way he works. Deliver us, Lord. Our eyes are set on You. Fill us with Your joy unspeakable and full of Your glory, Lord. Give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that would keep our hearts and our minds in You, Christ Jesus. Let us draw close to You. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go.
Been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.